All right, and then we insert the theme song here.
Lost in Space?
No.
No, okay.
All right, welcome everybody to the very first Kick to Kick podcast. My name is Tim. To my right, I have Coops.
Good afternoon, everyone.
And to my left, I have the Kazman.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Now, we have decided to do this podcast because we love talking about footy. But the purpose of this podcast is not to talk about modern football just yet. It will be going back into the annals?
Let's not go back into the annals.
Annals of history?
Annals.
In time and look at, look at the original league. So this is the pilot episode. We'll obviously explain a bit of the history of the game, where it came from, and what got it up to 1896. And then episode one will be 1897, season one, VFL.
Where it all began.
But before we do that, let's start by just having a quick talk about who we are, so our valued listeners know us.
Yeah.
So, Coops, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
What team do you support, and is there a good story behind it?
So, well, I'm a very proud and passionate Melbourne Demon supporter. The story is probably one quite similar to a lot of people out there. I was told from very young age I could go for whoever I wanted, but I would only ever get to go to Melbourne games or be bought a Melbourne jumper. So that was that made that choice pretty easy. And that was, you know, when 86 I was born. So from the time where I really got into the footy, you know, mid-90s, we were doing okay. We were making finals most years, and that sort of really stuck me into it. And it's been a real roller coaster since about 06.
All right, so
mainly downhill.
Yeah. Number one on your jumper as a kid?
I had Gary Lyon. Absolutely loved him.
Number five?
Yeah. And number five. Number three for Gary. Number five for Schwartz.
Sorry, yeah.
The big ox.
Didn't they play at the same time?
They did. I had two. I had the two of them.
So when Gary Lyon retired,
straight on to Schwarter.
Yeah.
And more recently, I had Jared Rivers. And now I don't have anyone on the back of my jumper. No one's sort of taken my fancy.
Not yet.
No one's grabbed me.
Do you remember the first game you ever went to?
I don't remember the first game I ever went to. I remember lots of time spent at the G before the renovation in the members there, going along with Dad, and never being allowed into the old stand where it was just the boys and the mums and the kids. No one was allowed. And Dad was like, "Yeah, I'll see you at the end of the game." And he was always pissed, and Mum had to drive the car home. So it was perfect.
Well played, Dad.
Yeah, and win.
And best game you've ever been to?
Best game? Well, we were sort of talking about this just before, and I automatically thought Melbourne games. And the best Melbourne game I can remember going to was against Brisbane at the Gabba, and I think it was it might have been 05. What do you reckon, Kaz? 04, 05?
Yeah.
When they were still really good and they had everyone,
it was
and
like
we were.
04, was it?
Yeah, so it might have been then. Hmm. It might have been when. Because they played in the granny in 04, didn't they?
Brisbane, yeah.
And we beat them, and it was the first time we'd won up there in a long time, and, you know, we hadn't beat them in ages, so that was absolutely fantastic. And I was one of about 25 Melbourne supporters at the Gabba that day, I reckon. But best game I've been to was the 07 prelim, Collingwood Geelong. That was just fantastic.
Yeah, no, I'd agree. That was a great game. Just
what a cracker.
Such desperation. That was when the MCC
was locked out.
And you had to get in there. I was very top row.
It was unbelievable. That was the first time in my history that I can remember people actually being knocked back at the MCC.
Yeah, and it was bigger crowd than the grand final.
But then the granny, absolutely. And a much better game as well, I reckon.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, Kazman.
Just to do you guys talk, that's the reason why I love talking about footy, because I learn things like that.
Yeah. So who do you support and why?
Well,
what's the story behind it?
Well, I mean, I support Melbourne, but I didn't come to it a bit like, you know, every other Melbourne supporter has explained to me. But, however, I've taken it all on board, and my son is now, well, we say it like this, you know, you can go for Melbourne, or, you know, pass him the keys. You can take the keys, and when you're ready to come back home, you can come back inside.
Yeah.
So
why do you go for Melbourne?
Well, it was in 2000 where I'd finished high school, and the year before, and just started watching a bit more footy. Totally. And when I was growing up, I realised this that year as well, that all my friends growing up all back from Melbourne. Why I didn't go for Melbourne, I have no idea.
So you weren't into the footy as a teenager at all?
No.
So you avoided it?
Maybe, I don't know. I didn't mean to avoid it. I still went along to a couple of games, still enjoyed it. Yeah. Anyway, so that was, I had a singing lesson, and I rushed home to go and watch the grand final, and I actually bingled my car on the way home.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And but I just picked, because we were doing really well that year.
It's not a great day for you that day.
No, it was a shocker. Did you get into it right at the start of the season? Like, or did you sort of...
When we started going well, I was like, oh, I, you know, school had finished. I'm like, oh, gee, I better go for a team. Yeah, they're going all right. Okay,
yeah, perfect. Right. Jump in.
Yep. And,
and as June, July went on, he had to cancel his ski trips, obviously.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
That cheese tasting you had.
Yeah. It was terrible.
Number one on your jumper as a kid.
Well, I mean, if I was going to have a number, I probably would have had someone didn't. Like Peter Dacos or something like that, because I didn't go for Melbourne.
Oh, but okay. Did you have a jumper on your Melbourne jumper when you first bought a Melbourne jumper?
No, I haven't put a number on.
No?
But lucky I didn't put on Jack Watts. Choosing that one.
Yeah, so should we contextualise this and say it's, you know, it's October of 2017?
Yeah.
Just dated it.
Yeah.
That's all right.
first game you ever went to?
Now, if I think back, I'm pretty sure that it was Collingwood St Kilda with my uncle. Took me off my first game. He still is a mad St Kilda supporter. And I'm not sure who exactly won, but I just remember that was fantastic. You know, I hadn't been to footy yet, so...
Yeah, MCG or Waverley?
No, it was Waverley. And, you know, so I got to experience the car park and the traffic on the way.
And the long walk in.
And the cold, fresh... crisp air.
Best game you've been to?
Best game, I wanted to say that one, but I think the St Kilda Melbourne final that we went to, that was pretty good.
Oh, 06?
Yeah, that's the one. Maybe that's what I was thinking about before.
Yeah, that was a good game.
I think it was what was Michael Voss's brother name? Anyway, it was his last game.
Brett Voss.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and I just remember him on the side, and they were losing pretty badly, and I remember shouting something silly out. I felt really bad, but we just was really swept up in the moment. Anyway,
well, it happens. Yeah. It happens to the best of us.
Oh, okay. We've probably lots of stories either us or some of our friends have said. That, yeah.
No, yeah.
Mm. Nice. Well, I'm an Essendon supporter, and the story behind my Essendon supporting goes like this. So we were in kinder one day, and my teacher, whose name was Lamar. She was asking everyone, "All right, who do you support in the football?" And I don't think I had a team at that stage. And she's like, "Well, I barrack for the Bombers." And I like my teacher, so I'm like, all right, I do too. Good on you.
There you
well
go.
Done. Yes. So I got my mum picked me up that day, and I said to mum, I bomber for the Bombers. And she's like, I think you mean barrack. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one.
I barrack for the Bombers. But it turned out my mum was a Bomber supporter anyway, and her dad had been, like my granddad, my pa, was a huge Bomber supporter.
Oh, there you go.
So, I mean, it worked out perfectly for that side. My dad is a St Kilda supporter, though, so I think he was a bit disappointed. But I don't know, like, parents who give their kids... choice, why?
Yeah, I know. It makes no sense to me at all.
My daughter hasn't got a choice. She's been a member since birth.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
and
no...
Yeah, these ones are like, oh, I'll wait to see what they, you know, who they like. They can choose for themselves.
Yeah, no, ridiculous.
It's like, life.
But it's an interesting one, the teacher thing, because often you get the kids coming up and like, and they say, you know, oh, this year I go for this team. And I'm like, no. You can't move around.
Yeah, so you have to guide them through life, and this is one of the things that you need to know.
Yeah, yeah. But ups when and you downs. Pick one, you stick.
You
yeah.
stick with
no matter
it,
how terrible they are.
They might be crap.
Yeah.
For years and years.
But it just makes it all the
years.
Sweeter.
Yeah. And I think that, and the Demons have got the longest drought now, don't they, after the Doggies last year? 64.
After the Doggies last year, yeah, unbelievable. 64.
Yes, and I'd like to get one in the modern era.
Are we the? Do we also have the longest current drought?
Yep.
Between final series? I think we might be second
Essendon.
Longest.
Essendon. Does. Yeah. Oh.
There you go.
It was Richmond.
Yeah.
And now it's Essendon.
Yeah,
sorry, winning one. I think Essendon's the longest...
Without winning a final.
Winning
one, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let's move on now to talk about...
Oh, well, we didn't ask, what was the first number you got on your back?
Of course. First number, Tim Watson.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, of course. I mean, my name's Tim, so
yeah,
I feel like I was kind of named after him, or his name inspired my name.
Yeah.
So I always had an affinity for Tim Watson.
No.
So I had 32 on my back growing up.
Yeah. And so was he the captain at that time?
Yeah, he was.
Obviously great.
Yeah, so that was about 88, 89 is when I got into the footy. Mm. And then 1990, we're obviously in the grand final. Mm. But lost. First game I went to was Geelong Collingwood at the MCG with my dad. Nice. Just because he wanted to take us to the football. I couldn't tell you who won or anything about it. I just remember being in the old stands of the MCG, where the Southern Stand is now, just colour everywhere and people everywhere and not really knowing what's going on. Mm. Best Essendon game. You guys won't want to hear this. It was a game in 1992. Three-quarter time, the Demons led Essendon by 42 points. We came back and won by a point. Derek Kickett on the goal line saved the goal, and we won the game. And I wanted to go at three-quarter time, and my mum was like, no, you stay till the end no matter what. Always stay till the end. And since then, I've always stayed till the end.
And that's, well, you learned it well.
So I've learned it well. Yeah, but other than that, I probably would say the same prelim as you.
Okay, good.
But Kaz, you have your other relationship with football is that you umpire a bit.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I started a little bit of local football umpiring in the Yarra Valley. The acronym's changed now, something like that. The Yarra Valley League umpires.
But you're a boundary umpire.
I started off as boundary.
Oh, but now you're field, aren't you?
Yeah, because, you know, like when I was supporting, I was just getting a feel for it as well, like, you know, actually learning the rules. Doing boundary is one way to do that. You should try it, everybody. We need lots of local umpires out there. seriously, it was great fun. And and moved into field because, seriously, I don't know, running. It was summer. We were running 14, 15 Ks.
On the boundary?
Yeah, on the regulation grounds. You know, like, say, at Hillsville, it's regulation ground, and now regulation posts.
So you run less on the field than you do on the boundary, do you reckon?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, because there's more of it. Interesting. Yeah. See, that's something I wouldn't have thought.
Nice. And did you play footy growing up?
I did. I did. I played footy at school and played maybe one or two seasons for the Glen Iris Gladiators, tougher than Alligators.
Was that the chant?
Was the chant, yeah. But I'm a terrible footballer. Yeah. Just shocking.
I totally agree.
Horrendous.
I can't kick. The list goes on.
Yeah. No, I played all through junior and primary school and high school and then left it for a long time. And then a few years ago, after 15 years break, I played one more season. Made a comeback. Played a whole season and that was enough for me.
Yeah, 15 years break.
15 years break. First game back, I kicked 5 goals.
Did you? Amazing.
I've never been a forward.
That is so good.
5 goals after 15 years.
That's
first
amazing.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into a little bit about the creation of the game of football. Kaz, what do you know? What do you know about how AFL came to be?
Well, I have this feeling that there are lots of different types of, well, not really codes as officially formed, but in different areas around Australia, there are different types of game being played with lots of different influences from Gaelic football to the other versions of football from somewhere in Europe.
Yep.
And it took a while for it to, what would you say, coalesce into the code that we know today.
Yeah.
Which is that Tom Wills?
Yeah.
Yeah, was responsible for writing the code as we know it.
He was one of the four.
There's a lot that's gone into it. I mean, one thing I found really interesting is that, you know, the final series, just take that, you know, it was played so differently from year after year, and I know that...
Oh, some of the stuff I'm going to tell you in a second is ridiculous.
But, I mean, you think, like, even today, it's constantly changing, isn't it? Like, it's just that that constant, you know, growth. As a sport, it's amazing where it's come from and where it is, and it's interesting to think where it will be in another sort of even 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, you think, huge changes.
Do you know much about the creation of the game?
Apart from that, I mean, I know it was four blokes. The only name I know is Tom Wills. I know he was a publican, wasn't he? And a cricketer.
Yeah, mainly. He's one of the best cricketers in the colonies.
Is that right?
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. He was like your Brendan Favola. He'd just go from team to team to team to team. Just
really?
Yeah.
Just punching darts on the sidelines.
Yeah, pretty much.
The way I know it, the creation of the game best is through school, because I went to Melbourne Grammar, who
played in the first game.
In the first game against Scotch.
Umpired by Tom Wills.
Is that right? See, there you go. So I didn't know that.
It's a three-day game.
It was a three-day game with one score, a single score right at the end.
Yeah.
I don't know who won. I'm assuming
I'm trying to think how he might have come across that. Like, was that a pre-game speech one day? They brought that to inspire everybody in one day.
Today.
You know, we were involved with the first game, and you know.
Yeah, we sort of. Well, it was just one of those things. Like, I mean, because that rivalry is so old, and you know, it's just one of those ones of, you know, we've been we've been fighting it out longer than the AFL's been around.
Yeah. So, do they talk about it much at school?
Not often. There was sort of the yearly what's now called the Cordon Eggleston Cup, which is a Melbourne Scotch game, and it's sort of brought up then, but sort of only as a side note thing. And there's the statue out the front of the G, isn't there, of the kids playing?
I think
it's outside, almost outside gate 2 near the bridge.
Yeah, that was the paddock they played on.
Yeah,
much.
Out there.
Yeah, researching for this, I didn't realise how early on Scotch had been involved.
Mm. Yeah.
And there was all. Well, there was also the Mangrook as well, that the Jabparong people played in the Jadwajali area of the Grampians.
Mm. Okay.
And there's no real evidence, apparently, that it came from there, but I think it contributed, because the other theory is Tom Wills lived in that area and played with the Aboriginal kids
there
and he could speak Aboriginal.
So he took that.
So he took some of that with him when he kind of formed the game. So he wrote a famous letter kind of calling for people to come and play kick to kick, pretty much. And a heap of people rocked up 2 weeks later and they had a bit of a kick on an oval, and that kind of led to the Scotch Melbourne game, which he umpired.
So how do you, because I don't actually know, do you know how he got involved with the schools? Or?
Well, he went to school in rugby over in England.
Yep.
And he played a lot of soccer and more rugby, what's now known as rugby union over there. But in coming back to Australia, he wanted something for the cricketers to do in the off season to keep them fit.
Oh yeah, okay.
Yeah, so he wrote this letter saying, you know, come to the park and we'll have a bit of a kick to kick around and
amazing.
And we'll start the game. And one of his mates was the Scotch College teacher who helped write the rules.
There you go. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so they wrote the rules.
Wow. It did take long for it to take over cricket.
No. Well, that's what they were saying in some of the reading I did. And the four people who wrote the rules were all from quite different areas, and they picked and chose the best rules from each of the sports. And so I read a really good quote that kind of said Aussie rules wasn't just dumped in, like it didn't arrive ready-made in Melbourne.
Yeah.
It was something that was adapted and changed throughout time, and we've really adapted it to be our own. And it's different from soccer, because soccer's played so many places. You change a rule and it had to travel all around to take effect, whereas the Melbourne rules, which is what it was first known as, as soon as you change it happened everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, because everyone was coming from the same point.
Yeah.
It does make sense that they just took the best of all the other games, because, I mean, it's obviously the best game in the world as well.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it works.
And because we're, I guess, insular here as well, didn't really travel out too much either. They tried to get it to England, apparently, but they were too worried about soccer and rugby union.
Yeah.
And there was a big codes in South Australia and...
but South Australia actually adopted the Victorian way of playing.
Yeah,
And supposedly that's why New South Wales and Queensland didn't take it up, because it was called Victorian rules.
It was very much state.
Yeah, because there was such a rivalry between the colonies at that
Interesting.
Stage.
Interesting. There you go.
I've got the official 12 rules here from the original meeting as well.
Come on.
Rule 1, distance between goals and the goalposts to be decided by captains.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And they'd probably just use trees or something back in the day. I'll be like,
well, I think I know of the first game, the Melbourne Scotch game, the goals were like between two trees.
Yeah, it makes the kids like we play at school.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Rule 2, teams of 25 in grand matches, but up to 30 against the odds. So you could play up to 30 players if you wanted. There's no real rules. It was just decided on before the game how many you wanted to play.
Maybe taking into consideration what their abilities were. Maybe something to do with fairness at the time.
How big the captains made the field.
Imagine that now. It'd be ridiculous, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it?
You have to put the team sheets in. Oh, they've only got 25. Oh, sweet. We're going to put 30 in there.
Yeah.
We'll have 10 in the back line.
And 3 full forwards.
Yeah, imagine 30. Imagine 60 players in defence if they're flooding.
I don't know. Josh Fraser, who's played for Collingwood, he was doing a game, a final for Seville this year. And, anyway, so they find ways of getting the numbers going, because they wanted him in for a grand final, I think, or another bigger final, something like that.
Yeah.
And he wasn't able to stick around.
Yeah.
So, because he had another game with VFL club. Yeah, so they find ways of
manipulating those rules.
Well, yeah.
Rule 3, matches to be played in two halves of 50 minutes. At the end of the first 50, teams may leave ground for 20 minutes of refreshments, but must be ready to resume on time, otherwise rival captain can call the game off if his side has scored to claim the win.
Oh, I thought you were going to say he could just get it started again without the other team there.
Netball style.
Yeah.
Rule 4, game played with 200 yards, so it's about 183 metres of space. Team to be measured equally on each side of the line drawn through the centre of the two goals, and two posts to be called kickoff posts. Kickoff posts shall be erected at a distance of 20 yards on each side of the goalposts, at both ends and in straight line between them. I don't really understand what that means. But
is that for the point posts?
Yeah, I guess so, even though it said rule one was like they can decide that.
Yeah, exactly. They've added these. It started with two rules and then they're slowly come in.
Rule five, when kicking behind goal, ball may be brought 20 yards in front of any portion of the space between the kickoff and kicked as nearly as possible in line with opposite goal.
Oh. So is that, that's like the original goal square, I guess.
Yeah.
Given those measurements.
Stop the game as well to sort of get out there. Interesting.
I don't know. Ball must be bounced every 10 or 20 yards if carried.
Yeah,
that which makes sense. That I mean, do you ever think really, what would happen? Well, do you ever think what would happen if you didn't have to bounce the ball when running? Well, imagine how that would change the game. You'd just get fast players who could just run away from everyone.
Wouldn't you? It'd almost turn more into almost into NFL.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? Really? You just have these running backs.
Just running as far as they can with the ball. So having the bounce actually is a genius idea.
Isn't it?
It just levels
it's so important.
It levels that playing field. Rule seven, tripping, holding, hacking is prohibited. So hacking is kicking people in the shins. Pushing with hands or body is allowed when any player is in rapid motion or in possession of ball, except in case of a mark. So that early on, they've got marks.
There you go. But pushing in the back, totally fine.
Yeah.
Bring it back, I say.
Yeah. Obviously, getting a mark and a big players being able to go and set up is something that really changes the whole shape of the game.
Yeah. Rule eight, mark is when a player catches the ball before it hits the ground and has been clearly kicked by another player.
Yep.
Still in existence. Yeah. Rule nine, handball only allowed if ball held clearly in one hand and punched or hit with the other.
So?
If caught, no mark, throwing prohibited.
Yeah, that hasn't changed either.
Yeah.
There you go.
Rule 10, before game, captain's toss for ends.
Yeah.
Rule 11, in case of infringements, captain may claim free from where breach occurred, except where umpires appointed, opposing captains to adjudicate.
Yeah.
Mm. So, no umpires. Pretty sure that was a free.
Yeah, it goes.
Rule 12, in all grand matches, two umpires, one from each side, will take up position as near as possible between the goalposts and centre. When breach is made, appeal to go to nearest umpire.
Fair enough.
So they are the 12 rules.
There you go. It's interesting, though. I know it was only played in halves to begin with, but the timing really hasn't changed, has it?
No.
50-minute halves. It's 20 minutes with play on now.
Yeah, that's about
probably
it.
Probably hasn't changed
yeah.
all that much in terms of time played.
No, you're right. Now, I thought we might talk a little bit about the clubs involved in what is the VFL as well. We'll talk. Do you want to talk now about the VFA? Or you want to do that after the clubs? Talk about the clubs.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, we'll do it in order. So the very first club that was was your team, both of your teams, the Melbourne Demons.
The Demons.
1858.
Yes, and thank goodness they did all those celebrations so we could learn all about them.
one of the oldest professional sporting clubs in the world.
What was it? We had a 150-year anniversary. When was that?
2008.
2008. Yeah, well, that's the maths.
The math, yeah.
that's the simple maths right there.
If I remember, they lost by a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
2008 was not a good year.
Black year. But what do you know about the history of Melbourne up until, 1897?
I know what's the history that I know apart. Well, we weren't called the Demons when we originally started. We were the Fuchsias, I believe, also known as the Red Legs.
Yeah, because of the red.
Because of the red stockings. Yeah, yeah. I guess it was the stockings, wasn't it? What else?
I'm just trying to think of significant players as well. I mean, obviously, I've got a lot of players here.
Well, Tom Wills was your first captain, apparently. He was part of that, part of the Melbourne board. He also played for Geelong, but. He was one of the. I think he was one of the early captains of Melbourne. Yeah.
What didn't Tom Will do?
Yeah, he had it all covered.
He had the will to do lots of things.
Then he committed suicide, though.
Oh my god!
Yeah, 1880, like 17 years before the league formed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Mm. Oh gosh.
Dark.
Yeah, very dark.
We went there.
Do you know anything?
Yeah. That's a fair question.
Like, from what I know, I think the club was formed, but it was like 3 years until they played a proper game. I might be wrong about that.
Is that something?
I got nothing. Hang on, we might have to come back to this.
Yeah, let's get it open here. Here we go. Now, here we go. Oh, there's quite a large section here. and there's a picture there of Jim Stones.
Go to the next page.
Yep.
Not back forward. Yep. Yeah. That kind of starts the history. If you look at the box down the bottom, they're like two little green boxes.
Oh my gosh. Okay, here we go. So this is coming straight out of something called the clubs. Who have we got? No. Okay, here we go. Club news, 1858, 1899. Okay, the beginning. Melbourne Cricket Club was formed 1838,
13. Yeah, so the MCC existed for a long time.
Yeah, beforehand.
Like, pretty much 3 years after Melbourne was founded.
Yeah, it was the MCC begun. There you go.
The MCG used to be called the Jolimont Oval, and that's now where the MCC are. Paddock games.
Well, it's something that I know about this MCG, not necessarily Melbourne, but the G, which I loved this fact, was that where it's now all played, where the stadium sits is the old cricket ground, and they used to have like a cantilevered stadium. So they could change the direction of the stands, and the footy would be played now where all the cars park outside.
Yeah, genius.
And the cricket was played on the other side, where we now play all the games.
That's
which
genius.
I thought, that was absolute genius.
Maybe Eddie Had should try that.
I'll play half the game in the water.
There's one thing here that says all white. The Invincible Whites, as Melbourne was known at the time, due to their all white outfits.
Yep.
Beat all comers in 1864, including the new clubs Carlton, South Melbourne, and Royal Park.
Yep.
Love to find out more about them. Then it was the Red Legs by 1872, when a member of the club, Larry Bell, returned from a trip from England with four pairs of stockings, two red and two blue. He gave the red pairs to Melbourne and the blue to Carlton.
Wow.
Melbourne had a blue knickerbockers, it says here, and sweater and a red cap. And the red cap gave birth to the nickname The Fuchsias.
The Fuchsias. There you go.
I like that story. So they pretty much gave Carlton their name as well.
Yeah, the Blues and the Red Legs. There you go.
Wonder where did you get these socks from England? Well, they wouldn't need warm socks. They probably have all sorts of style.
Do we have a lot of sheep here to make socks?
Surely.
I don't know. Oh, there we go. There's another historical thing.
Anything else you want to add about the Demons? The Fuchsias.
Here we go. This is interesting. Under lights. The first light match was at the MCG when Melbourne and Carlton met under lights on the 13th of August, 1879.
What?
Gate takings were £500. That seems quite
£500.
Yeah, but the match was marred by the bursting of the white ball, and the substitution of a brown one, which was difficult to see.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, fun fact. I was going to say something. I've heard once. Now this totally left field here, but I thought that somebody once played with a possum skin ball.
That was Mungrook.
Yeah, it really was. Oh, yeah. That's great to find out.
Yeah, so that's how they played in. I think it's Mount William area now. Mm, they played with a possum skin, and games would go on for days and days and days.
Mm. You'd really hope that there's something out there that has a bit more information about that, because you travel through.
I kind of like the idea that like everything is influenced, though. Like the Aboriginal side has influenced it, and the English side, and then we've kind of developed it ourselves as well.
Yeah.
Like there's no, like everything's kind of had a say in how it's played.
Yeah. We love it the way it is now, and finding out where it's come from is so good. It doesn't necessarily mean that we have to honour exactly where it's come from. It's great the way it is now.
No.
Yeah.
It's interesting here. I'm just reading something saying that in 1861, when some of the games were playing, the club Melbourne pushed for those rules to be used, but apparently even in 1861, many of the early suburban matches were played under compromised rules.
Yeah.
Decided between the captains of the competing clubs.
Yeah, and sometimes they play rugby.
Yeah, so it was still in embryonic, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was still trialing figured out.
Because it wasn't until 1877 they formed the VFA.
Yeah.
So it was all trial and... Like, everyone seemed to be loving playing it, but they were still refining those rules.
Yeah. I think what I wanted to say was that it's still the same at this time, don't you think?
Yeah, they're like constantly refining things, aren't they?
I think you might look back at it and, like, you know, something as big as the changes they've made, you know, it could be for the look of the game on TV. Mm. No, I think that might be more significant than maybe we realise.
Yeah, you're right.
Also, I didn't know this, but I'm just looking at this now. Apparently, our original colours were red and green, not red and blue.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I don't know. It doesn't say when that changed, but yeah, we started off as red and green, and then maybe someone was colourblind and it just managed to change.
Yeah.
Well, that's a little bit of Melbourne. And we've got plenty of time to dip into the Melbourne history as well. looks like you might have some.
Oh, look, I've done my research, mate. So we'll get on to Geelong. So Geelong was founded the year after in 1859. So football admirers of the new game are, this was a notice put up in Geelong. Admirers of the new game are requested to attend a meeting to be held at Victoria Hall at 7:30 on Monday evening, 18th of July. That was the first note that led to the formation of the Geelong Football Club. The first official game was played against Melbourne in a paddock on the corner of Parking Streets near the Argyle Hotel. It was a scoreless draw after 3 hours.
These early games would have been riveting to watch, wouldn't they?
In 1886, so this is after the formation of the VFA, the club was so dominant that year that the top five goal kickers for the year were all Cats players.
You're kidding.
Yeah. How's that?
imagine supporting them.
Yeah.
Originally, they wore scarlet shirts with red caps and blue and white stripes until 1876. And that's when the colours of Geelong date back to. The white and blue stripes represent seagulls flying over Corio Bay.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Although they were much smaller back then, so they've kind of expanded, I guess, as you go.
Yeah.
And they were also known as the All Whites for a time as well, Kaz. So you're talking about that with the Demons. But then they became known as the Pivotonians.
I have heard that name before. Where did that come from?
It was a reference to Geelong being the pivotal point for all shipping and railing routes in the area. Mm. Yeah. The Pivotonians. Not a very threatening name to...
It's not, is it?
To go by, is it?
Well, neither's the Fuchsias. Yeah. Not really, so...
Yeah. Phil McShane was their first... was a goal kicker for the Cats, and he was the first player to kick 50 goals in the season. And they won 7 VFA premierships in 9 years. So 1878, 79, 80, 82, 83, 84, 86.
Wow.
So they were dominant. But I'll talk a little bit about this later, but the way premierships were decided is a bit farcical. And finally, the other thing I was going to say was Charles Brownlow was a player and captained the club in 1883. And following his playing days, he became the first administrator and was there for a long time.
Well, he was administrator of Geelong and of the entire league,
I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the Pivotonians. we'll address the Cats when they become the Cats. Kaz, you going to talk about Carlton?
Oh, yes, okay. Okay. Hey, there's Geelong in front of me there, actually. Oh, okay.
And look, we can skip over Carlton if you want. I'm not a huge fan. Being an Essendon supporter.
No, look, there's going to be things here that we're going to find interesting. Oh, that's right, of course. Great Robert Walls. here we go. Position third. Is that maybe the most games? No, never mind. That's going nowhere. I can't see. Oh, lead goal kicker. No, I don't know.
What's that got to do with the 1800s?
Nothing. Let's go back to the beginning. Now, it's interesting because a lot of people... I love talking about it, but it's really hard to be sure about the details of the beginning. And it's great to immortalize it in a podcast. That's a good idea.
Someone should do that.
Someone should kill some time while they're trying to look for information.
Okay, club news 19.
So formed in 1864. I'll start you off.
Okay, very good.
5 years after the Cats.
Sounds like a score they kicked against Melbourne once. I don't know. No. Now, it's not taking me right back to them. So, membership admissions.
Really stuff down the bottom.
Here we go, down here. Wait a minute.
Keep going. Just
good research here.
No, there you go. So start.
Here we go. Okay. Righto, Carlton Football Club. At a meeting on the 17th of May in 1865 at the University Hotel in Lygon Street, Carlton. Ben James was elected Carlton's first secretary, and James was invited to be present. Okay. Theatrical entrepreneur. Here we go. Comedian, politician, and property developer George Coppin was elected president of the Carlton Football Club on 13th of March 1866. Presented a football as a trophy in an inter-club practice game. Okay, whatever. Good. So he did that. That's good. Anyway, I'd like to find out more about him. No, that's why we don't like Carlton. There's nothing interesting about it.
And there's, you know, all our Carlton supporters turn off.
Their first win over Melbourne on the 22nd of June, 1867, 2-0.
Should we also say that back then, like, goals was worth one?
Yeah.
So I was talking to Charlie and I were talking about this earlier.
Yeah.
You could have a score of, you know, 5-1 to 4-11. You'd still lose because goals were what counted. The points were just nothing.
Yeah.
Which is a bit ridiculous.
Yeah. Well, so, and we talked about the rules before. The point posts were measured out as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Carlton went through the 1864 season undefeated.
1864?
Yeah.
The year they formed.
1864? What did I say? 1874. Okay. I should do that again. Oh, never mind. God. So, let me try that again. So, Carlton went through the 1864 season. I did it again. Carlton went through the 1874 season undefeated, becoming the premier team in the colony.
Yep.
Eminent cricketers Tom Kendall and Harry Boyle played for Carlton. Must be around that time.
It sounds like it was mainly cricketers playing in the beginning as well, because it says that about Melbourne as well, that it was all the guys that Tom Wills played cricket with, such as Jerry Bryant, William Hammersley, and JB Thompson, and teacher Tom Smith, who was the Scotch teacher.
I think Hammersley was one of the other rule makers.
Yeah, okay. So Jerry Bryant, William Hammersley, JB Thompson, and Thomas Smith were cricketers who then played for Melbourne in that 1958 Origins.
Yeah, nice.
Carlton won the inaugural premiership of the Victorian Football Association in 1877.
Yep.
And George, oh geez, how do you pronounce all these? George Coulthard was named champion of the colony. That sounds pretty good.
Nice.
Champion of the colony. That's a good title. Yeah.
For the second year in succession. He won it again in 1879 as well. There you go.
Nice.
Yeah. Strong team there. That would be pretty significant after you really, you go out and you break ranks with all the other teams and you start this thing called the BFA. And yeah, there would have been lots of emotion around that.
All right, Kaz, I'm going to start talking about Essendon now. Maybe you should start looking up Fitzroy. So I'm going to talk about Essendon, then St Kilda, and then Charlie's going to talk about South Melbourne. Then it's your turn to talk about Fitzroy, so maybe just get prepared.
And I can stay up all night editing myself in.
You can.
Making yourself sound genius.
So Essendon was formed in 1873. It grew from a meeting of a well-known brewery family called the McCrackens, who had a brewery, one of the oldest brewing companies in Victoria. They were bought by CUB and, you know, CUB, Carlton United Breweries. They're one of those United breweries.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. They played their first game on the family's paddock. Their first ever game was against Carlton, and they beat them by a goal. Good start. Their first game, first season, they played 13 games, winning 7, drawing 4, and losing 2. The jumper design was decided upon in 1877, and is much the same now, but before that, they wore stripes, like North Melbourne Collingwood style vertical stripes. They won 4 VFA premierships in a row, 1891 to 94. And they were known as the Same Olds due to a song sung by the supporters.
The Same Olds?
The Same Olds.
Ah.
Yeah, it was the song would sound like, you know, and we'll always be the same old Essendon.
Ah, okay.
So I want to try and find a copy of that song.
Yeah, that's coming in for episode 2.
If we can find it.
Yeah.
They were the first club to kick 10 goals in the game in 1879 when it thrashed Hawthorn. During its early years in the association, Essendon played its home matches at Flemington Hill but moved to East Melbourne Cricket Ground in 1881. And they were undefeated for the entire 1893 season. And I'll move on to talk about St Kilda now. So, you've got two teams to go, Kaz. St Kilda were also formed in the same year, 1873. The St Kilda Football Club was born out of the disbanded South Yarra Football Club, who wanted to play as a senior club. Early games were played on an alpaca paddock, which is where St Kilda Park Primary School is now. They tried to breed them in the 1860s.
Did they?
Yeah. Ridiculous. They also beat Carlton in their first game, but the Carlton seconds and won by 2. Things looked pretty bad for them early on, though, because in 1879, the whole team didn't show up for a game against Essendon.
They stayed pretty low.
Yeah. in 1874 against Albert Park, the ball in a game, the ball was overinflated, and it popped, and the game was delayed until they could find a replacement.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you think about it, the equipment was all scarce.
Yeah, of course.
Like, balls aren't that easy to get.
Oh, and overinflated and just popped.
Yeah.
Ah, so it's obviously a fairly important job for somebody, not just some wicked kid.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't really until after a few years had been played that they could actually get proper balls.
Yeah, I bet. What were they playing with
rugby
at the
balls.
Beginning? Yeah, just rugby
balls.
Yeah,
and they'd have to get them imported from England.
Oh. There you go.
Yeah, until they could make their own.
Yeah, so as we go along, like, I wonder how many games have been cancelled because of pop balls. Like, that's significant in the history.
How did they change the... So they obviously change... How did they decide on how to change... What to change the size to?
That's interesting.
They just sort of... thinned it out a little bit.
I guess there was a market for it, so someone sold it as a hole in the market and started making them locally.
Yeah.
Probably T.W. Sharon or...
Yeah, must have been.
Yeah. We can find that out for next episode, guys.
Yeah, a lot of people, one of the first things they say is, how do you use this ball?
Yeah.
I know.
Talk to people who haven't seen it or played it before.
That's one of the best things about it, though, the unpredictability of the ball.
Mm.
Yeah, I think about that all the time.
Yeah.
It's our Stephen Milne.
Tip rat.
Which is a good segue back to the Saints. 1886, the nickname Saints first appeared, and their colours always seemed to be red, white and black. In 1888, they merged with Peran Football Club. Mm. They retained everything, except they got all the good players from Peran.
So they won that deal massively.
Definitely. They also recruited a player whose name was William Lockett. I thought it was quite interesting they got a Lockett very early on.
Yeah, no relation, as far as we're aware.
As far as I know, he's not, but, you know... 99 years later, Tony Lockett then won a Brownlow for them.
That is so interesting.
1889, they beat the New Zealand rugby team, who were on their way home from a tour of England.
You told me this fact the other day, and I found that absolutely amazing.
Because they just, we'll play you at rugby, and then you can come here and we'll play you at AFL. Or Victoria Rules, as it was then.
Beat the All Blacks at rugby.
So that's a good claim to fame for the Saints.
Yeah, absolutely.
They beat the All Blacks. And I'd say the All Blacks, not New Zealand.
Yeah.
In 1890, Alf Rusden was accused of wearing illegal metallic projections on his boot. So effectively, a Saints player maybe invented football boots. And myth has it that the Saints were only invited into the VFL because they had the best ground, Junction Oval.
It is a great ground.
Yeah.
Still one of the best.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really? So they didn't want them, they just wanted their park to play
pretty
on.
Pretty much. It's like inviting someone to a party who, has got good connections or has good alcohol or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Does that explain their one premiership?
Yeah, maybe. All right, South Melbourne.
So now on to South Melbourne. Well, so they began in 1874, although they did amalgamate with Albert Park in 1880. So Albert Park had been in the league since 1867, so they could almost sort of link back to that.
Yeah, okay.
But officially they began the 19th of June 1874 and adopted the name South Melbourne Football Club.
But weren't they also known as the Cecil Football Club?
The Cecil Football Club originally. Sorry, you're absolutely right.
Because isn't there a Cecil Street in South Melbourne?
Yeah.
Is there?
And they changed it within 4 weeks to South Melbourne. Right. So they thought that didn't quite...
Go, Cecil!
Didn't quite have the ring
they
wanted.
Come on, Cecil!
So when they merged with Albert Park, they retained the name South Melbourne, but they took the colours, the red and white colours, from Albert Park.
I'm
not sure what colours they were originally, but it doesn't say. They do have the old South Melbourne Football Club shield, though, has a Latin motto, Aut Vincere, Aut Mori, which is Latin for either to conquer or to die, which I quite like.
It's
really, really right up there. So they were also known as the Southerners, or more colourfully known as the Bloods, which we've all heard before, in reference to the bright red sash they had on their white jumpers, and which was replaced by the red V in 1932.
Yeah.
They also were often called the Bloodstained Angels. Which
That's tough, isn't it?
Yeah, seriously.
You got
tough.
The Fuchsias versus the
Bloodstained
Angels.
Yeah, I know which one I like a bit more. And they were based at Lake Oval, which is was the home of the South Melbourne Cricket Club, and is still there today. I mean, it's been obviously fixed up a lot since then.
Yeah.
Apart from that, so South Melbourne won, getting into the VFA, they won 5 VFA premierships in 81, 85, where they went through the whole season undefeated.
Yeah.
And then had 3 in a row in 88, 89 and 90. And then at the end of the 1896 season, Collingwood and South Melbourne finished equally at the top of the premiership ladder with Both of them had 14 wins, 3 draws and a loss, and they had a playoff match, and this was the first time this had occurred in the history of the VFA.
First grand final.
First actual grand final.
Yeah.
And it was on the 3rd of October in 1896 at the East Melbourne Cricket Ground.
Nice.
And Collingwood won, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But
and
that's
we're
yeah,
all
that's
on agreement, so we all hate Collingwood.
Yeah. Okay. Who doesn't really?
Yeah.
But that's yeah. That's the history of South Melbourne, and you know, I think it's a great history to have because there's still a lot of people. Being in South Melbourne, living in South Melbourne, there's still so much old memorabilia and a lot of old South Melbourne pubs.
Yeah.
And there's still so much history. You know, it's a club that moved obviously to Sydney, but there's just so much love for it still in Melbourne, which is great.
I'd love when we get to episode 80 something when they move to Sydney. I'd love to get some old South Melbourne supporters on to talk about that whole process.
Yeah, and what happened.
Yeah,
it'd be a bit hollow, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing, but there's still so much. There's still such love for them, and they play so often here as well. I guess, and they're so, you know, yeah,
yeah,
but they're great.
Yeah, so speaking of that, we've been talking about Fitzroy, and I found out the other day that they're still playing in the VFA.
Yep,
and they've gone up a division, so the club rooms are the same, and they've talked about what colours and what logos they're allowed to use. So yeah, they're still going, but. There's some cool things I noticed here. Obviously,
so formed in 1883.
Yes, and the Hot Barrackers of Fitzroy rejoiced on the 31st of May 1884 after the club secured its first victory over a senior club. They defeated Melbourne 4-1, signalling the young club to come of age.
4-1.
Yeah. Why did I choose that? Chanting Melbourne. So there was something here about the invention of the torpedo. According to Roy Cazaly, Gordon Rattray invented the torpedo punt while a student at Wesley College. Rattray played 87 games for Fitzroy, captaining the side in 1923 and again in 1928 as a playing coach. I love the history of Fitzroy, and obviously, you know, as soon as I mention the word Fitzroy, as soon as I think about it, I get emotional because, you know, Melbourne was there. We almost, you know, merged, and no matter how much you look at it, with players changing these days and everything, like, you're still...
Oh, it's sad.
Yeah. Mm.
Seeing a club.
That's right. Anyone who loves football, I reckon, feels a little bit. I certainly feel it for Fitzroy, and did then. I was only little, though, obviously. But anyway... Jim Grace was a star forward early on.
Were they always known as the Lions?
They were. Ah, jeez, this is trickier because it doesn't have this book I have here doesn't just have straight out the biggest facts first. It has this sort of editorial stuff.
It's why you need to do your research.
Yeah, I was looking on Wikipedia that time. I'm just going to do it.
I'm just going to do it in post production.
Yeah, jeez. Well,
he's going to absolutely tear us apart in post-production.
What's that, Charlie? No response?
Okay, here we go. Jeez, it doesn't have much about the colours here, sorry. Okay. These are really obscure. That's why I'm finding it tricky here. The record crowd of 34,765 somehow managed to squeeze into the Brunswick Street Oval in June 1923.
Yep.
The ones you could see any of the play saw Fitzroy defeat Essendon by 23 points.
In the 20s.
There you go, yeah. That's the wrong...
That's like 30 years ahead of what we're talking about.
Okay. All right. I didn't realise it's already... Oh.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Fitzroy and Carlton supporters.
Yeah, exactly.
We really made a mess of that.
Yeah, this is really not fair. can we just talk about Kevin Murray?
No, that's not until the 60s.
The scattergun approach to history, yeah. I like it.
I think Paul Ruse was
yeah,
there.
He was there somewhere, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Jim Grace won his second consecutive VFA goal-kicking championship with 49 goals in 1891, including the record tally of 11 against Richmond. Grace was the club's most successful forward in the VFA, bagging 248 goals and leading the club goal-kicking 7 times. Jim's brother Mick was declared club champion of the colony in 1899. The popularity of the two was captured in lyric by admiring supporters. Other clubs may have their stars, but Fitzroy have their aces. Other clubs may put on airs, but Fitzroy have their graces.
Nice. That's good. I like that.
All right, nice. maybe we should move on. Maybe we should move on to Collingwood then.
Apologies. We'll come back to Fitzroy, obviously, one time.
All right.
One time.
Charlie, tell us about Collingwood.
So Collingwood, is Collingwood the final of the first eight clubs
yeah.
in the VFL?
The youngest.
There you go. So they were established on the 12th of February, 1892, on the cusp of the Great Depression. Well, one of the worst depressions. They played their first game in the VFA against Carlton on the 7th of May, 1892. It doesn't say here whether they won, but I would assume they didn't. At that game, though, one of the local MPs for the area roused the crowd by declaring that the very name of Collingwood should strike fear into the heart of the opposition, which I like, and I think that every time I have to travel there. Yeah. They won the first VFA premiership only 4 years later in 1896, and that was the final year. So in 1897, Collingwood, along with the other seven clubs that we've been speaking about, moved over and started the VFL.
Yeah.
It does mention here that so they finished at the bottom of the ladder in their first season, but still managed to beat Carlton in their first game. So there you go, they did win that one. One of the players of the day, Bill Proudfoot, was involved in an infamous incident during the game for Collingwood against North Melbourne in 1896 in July, when a halftime riot occurred in the crowd and they invaded the field and turned on the umpire, Roberts.
Oh, no.
So think about that, Kaz, next time you're umpiring. Proudfoot, while attempting to stop the umpire from getting injured, was himself badly beaten. That'd be one of the first times a player's put himself in the line of an
imagine
umpire.
That. Imagine sure. how much that fan would be banned now. That's life.
In the day, they probably gave him a trophy.
Yeah.
Well, they hated them.
Yeah.
They?
Originally, in their first season, Collingwood had only been able to schedule 17 games. So they were one short of the required 18 games necessary to join the VFA. And looked like missing out on being part of the 1892 season until Carlton added a game to its list of matches so that Collingwood would have the required 18.
I bet they regret that now.
Carlton, yeah, and they lost it.
Yeah.
And they even donated the gate takings from the game to the fledgling club.
Yeah.
Imagine someone giving Collingwood money. Unbelievable.
Ridiculous.
And as I said before, they were the newest team and they improved very quickly and only 4 years later won the premiership in the VFA.
Yep.
So that's the history of them. And
that's the clubs.
That's all of them.
All right, so let's quickly talk about the VFA and then what happened for them to form the VFL. So the VFA was formed in 1877. Before that, they were kind of just, to choose the premiership team, they just look at their records and go, well, I reckon they played the best. That's them.
So before the VFA, they were just like, oh, you know, they were good?
Yeah, pretty much.
Really?
Like the public and the media would vote on it.
Is that right?
Yep. Country clubs could join the VFA as well, as long as they paid their fees.
And had the games,
and and they had a city delegate there to represent them. They were fine.
And so that's interesting. Until I saw that, I didn't realise they had to have a certain amount of games, otherwise they couldn't join the league.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Mm. Until the VFA was established, the best team was just left up to the people to choose. Clubs organised their own fixtures. So you'd have some teams who'd play 23 games a season and some who'd play like 9 or 10.
There you go.
To start with. Intercolonial matches occurred regularly. So St Kilda travelled to Adelaide to play teams. I know teams went down to Tassie as well. 1877 was the first year of the VFA. Grounds were enclosed by seating, which meant clubs could charge money and make money, and that eventually led to payments. Mm. 1878, Geelong won the premiership after winning all of its matches, and they beat the D's in the playoff, even though apparently there was a playoff match, but the D's obviously had the better record. The Cats had just played less games.
Ah, so they hadn't.
Yeah, so it was like, yeah, I have to look at it again, but it seemed like a silly way to do it.
It's not a central place where things get organized. Yeah, it was just kind
of... And there was no real grand final, as we talked about earlier. It was just the best team at the end of the season.
And it, even here, though, it's saying, like, before that, obviously, it was a complete mess, and they're saying, you know, it was formed to provide a formal administrative structure to the governance of it, and so to impose those binding decisions about the laws of the games, whether players were eligible, and other disputes, and to facilitate, as you said, the intercolonial football.
Yeah.
So to get them moving across.
Yep.
Those must have been great games.
Yeah.
And all the decisions were made based on a vote of the board of management, which was composed by two delegates from each of the senior clubs.
Yeah, there you go.
Which was a structure retained until the late 1980s in the VFA. So there you go.
Yeah, so by 1896, Geelong had won 7 premierships, South Melbourne 5, Essendon 4, Carlton 2, Collingwood and Fitzroy 1 each, and St Kilda and Melbourne.
Big donut.
Isn't that funny? St Kilda and Melbourne now the teams with the longest drought as well.
Yeah.
So the reasons they split from the VFA was that during the 1890s there was a big off-field power struggle within the VFA between the stronger and weaker clubs. Stronger clubs sought greater administrative control and wanted equal financial, you know, retribution for that. Because they, you know, they were drawing the crowds that the crap teams weren't.
Yeah, fair enough.
And it came to a head in 1896 when it was proposed that gate profits, which were always lower in matches against the weaker clubs, should be shared equally amongst the association clubs. So it should be spread out instead of like the team that had that game gets it. So it should be everyone gets an equal share of that. Mm. So in response to that threat, they'd had a vote and the strong clubs wanted out.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Imagine if they did that today. Imagine if Collingwood, Richmond and everyone was like, no, we're keeping our gate takings.
Yeah.
We're going to start our own league.
Yeah. So that's pretty much... No, that was the rugby split was a little bit different. That was more TV stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah, but we had our Super League war like 100 years before then.
Yeah.
So on October 1896, the 2nd of October, just after the end of the season... Representatives from the 6 clubs, so Collingwood, Essendon and Fitzroy, Geelong, Melbourne and South Melbourne, they met at Buxton Art Gallery in Collins Street and decided to secede from the VFA.
Wow.
And they invited Carlton and St Kilda pretty much because they had good grounds. And they and they became the separate league, the VFL, which ran alongside the VFA for a long, 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 long time.
Mm. So... And the VFA clubs that stayed, so
they continued.
Footscray, North Melbourne, Port Melbourne, Richmond, and Williamstown.
Yeah.
So there's a few there who then later joined the VFL.
Yeah, they jumped as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that as that happens. They gave the remaining VFA clubs the opportunity to compete as a junior competition, but they kind of said no and they wanted to stay in the VFA.
Yeah.
So yeah, they ran parallel. And some of the rule changes that the VFL made was behinds were counted towards the score. And the goals were worth 6.
So that changed in, what was that, 1897?
Yeah, I think so.
There you go.
We're assuming these are things that have made the game better, or they've done it for a good reason.
Yeah. Mm. They introduced a final system as well, so not just the best team at the end of the season. They had equal number of games and then a final season. Mm. And they had this stupid rule called the little mark, which was when a player would take a mark and a player passed it by fall, like he'd touch the ball on his foot and then pass it to the next player. Yeah. That was a mark. So they changed that to you have to kick it a certain, you know, what is it, 15 metres?
Yeah,
or something.
But whatever it was at the time. So it was almost like a touch
half.
On rugby,
yeah.
Almost. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So they got rid of that because that was a ridiculous thing.
And the little mark.
Yeah, and it opened up the play hugely.
Yeah.
So that were the three main rules. So yeah, that pretty much gets us to 1897.
There you go.
Which will be our next episode.
The first season of the VFL,
1897.
Yep. Yes. Great year.
What happened? So we've got our 8 teams. We've got the Pivotonians, the Bloods, the same olds.
Yeah.
Well, they're the Bloodstained Angels. Can we call
Bloodstained
them
Angels? Yeah. Okay.
The Fuchsias.
Yeah. The Blues, Magpies, Saints, and Fitzroy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Kaz can get back to us on if Fitzroy were the Lions back then.
Just allow me just to slide that in before we get on the actual year that we're up to.
Yeah.
I got to state a script. But I feel like that has been a bit fun. I've learned quite a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. Yeah, that was great.
Looking forward to the next episode.
All right.
Don't forget to share it amongst your friends.
Well, do we have a sign off?
Hooroo.
Until next time.
Until next time.
pleasure, lads.
Yeah, we need a football siren like the end of the game siren, yeah, or something, don't we? And then our theme song plays at the end because we've won.
Absolutely. Yeah. Maybe we all just like tackle each other out of the room.
Good game. Good game.
Nice. Beautiful.
Right. Cool. Done.